Good morning, everybody. It's August 1st. That's so exciting to me because that means July is not here anymore. Oh my gosh. I guess I just like the changes. Welcome to 1-2 Radio. If you're listening live right now, you are up way too early if you're on the West Coast. And if you're on the East Coast, you should be about 11 o'clock in the morning. And this is Monday, August 1st, and this is Mark Husson. Welcome to 1-2 News. Now, you guys that are just tuning in or maybe don't know the system, you might know by now that we recommend that you come over to 1-2radio.com. Look for the chat button on the left-hand side. You'll see, first of all, you'll see this very handsome picture, a guy with a white hat. Just like look to the left of that image, whoever that is, and click the chat button. And when you click that, you'll be catapulted into our Facebook page where you will see the 1-2 News with Christy Brower. That's me for now. We'll have that change soon, but come on in. This is fun. And if you get to make it to the chat room, we'll be able to look at your questions and comments. And there we have Jamie Zoe. How are you? It is Leo time. Hi, April. Good to see you. I'm so glad you all could make it. It's early for a lot of people, and I know a lot of you are listening that haven't signed into Facebook yet because you emailed me and told me that you were. So welcome. And I want to just start off by saying today is the end of the Cancer moon. And so it's going to kind of change right around 6 o'clock in the evening at Pacific time. So if you like to pay attention to those things, you'll see the moon go from Cancer into Leo, which is so perfect because our guests today are going to talk about the Leo things. And so keep an eye on that energy and see what happens. Now, tomorrow is a big new moon. I'll be on the air with you tomorrow to talk specifically about that new moon, which is in Leo. And you can also, let's see, that'll be tomorrow, new moon. Oh, and there will be a sale at 1-2 Listen. So you'll be able to talk to our gang at a reduced rate, which is so nice of them to be willing to do. And such a good opportunity for you to come and sort of zap into the energies of the new moon. Hi, Eva. Hi, Jamie, Dawn, Ade, Norella. Oh, it's so nice when the gang shows up. Hi, Christina. Now, you guys, listen, we're going to talk to Leos today. And we have two Leos on the line with me right now, and I'm going to introduce them here in a minute, but you might have some questions about Leos that you want me to ask them because they promised they were going to give us their honest answers, their honest opinions, because how often are you going to get like the royalty of the zodiac in the same room and answering our questions honestly, right? So I want you to sign in and play, or like if you can get into the Facebook page, do. If you haven't been able to do that yet, go over to 1-2 Radio, click the chat link, you'll be catapulted in. Okay, so without further ado, I want to just really briefly talk about these guys. Both of them are advisors at 1-2 Listen. Jim has been with us a little longer than Peggy, and so we're going to start with him. But what I know about Jim is Jim is a Leo. He was born at 0 degrees Leo. Now, this is a really important thing about Jim because we're going to meet somebody who's right in the middle. And then we're going to, right at the beginning, and then we're going to meet somebody who is right at the, more towards the end. So you'll get to see the difference in that. I talked on my show once about decadence, not decadence, like, you know, doing bad, degrading things. It's more like the deacons of the zodiac, which are the first degrees. The first 10 degrees mean that you're a certain energy of the zodiac. Like the first 10 degrees of Leo means you're a Leo. Second 10 degrees means you have more of the next fire sign in, which is Sagittarius energies. And then the last 10 degrees of Leo would be an Aryan and more Aries energy. Okay. So, now Jim is a clairvoyant, a clairsentient, a clairaudient. He lives in my neighborhood, which is where I might live in his neighborhood more accurately said, right? Because he is the Leo here. And, what I know about Jim is he is one of those understated individuals. He doesn't like understated, meaning he's sort of soft spoken, but when you get feedback around Jim, you hear some of the most amazing things. Not only is he a clairvoyant and these messages come through that he really doesn't screen. I think he just really taps in. And, Also, he has a literal physical healing practice, which we'll talk to him about, in that people see him in person for some. And I've also heard, I'm not just making this up, I've heard remarkable things about Jim. So I was really excited when Jim applied over to 12listen.com, and he has a radio show. We'll introduce all those. His radio show is Thursday evening. Peggy's is Tuesday evening. We're going to introduce Peggy here in a minute, but please, if you would first welcome Jim Komar. Jim, are you here?
I am here.
Welcome. Thank you, Mark. Yeah, it's really nice that you could make it. And is this an early time or late time for you, Jim?
I'm an early riser.
You're an early riser. That's so interesting. So I appreciate you being willing to come on and talk about being a Leo. And we're going to also stop in periodically and let you explain to people some of more details of what you do. But before we get into that, let's bring on the other lioness of our group. Now, Peggy is, like I said, newer to the 1-2 family, but really it seems like she's been here forever. She's the host of a Tuesday night show called Oh My Angels. She is really connected and really demonstrates this ability to listen to the direction of these angelic energies. She also does mediumship, meaning that she can talk through probably the angels, we're going to find out from her, to people that have crossed over to the other side. Now, her show, like I said, is every Tuesday night. What you know about Peggy is one of those people who walks her talk, as Jim is. That's one thing I notice about these two as Leos. I'm kind of excited to sort of uncover them a little more deeply. But you can hear it in her when she's when she is making a proclamation, or when she feels distraught by something. Peggy will reach out to those angelic energies, and she makes no bones about it. The people who talk to Peggy, who reach out to Peggy, adore her. I get incredible feedback on Peggy. In fact, it's so funny that the two Leos that have radio shows and that work for the 1-2 family are both people rave about them. You rarely get comments. And I don't think I've gotten any negative feedback on either of them, which is really unique, because that says something about their ability to connect. So without any more time wasted, Peggy, are you with us?
I'm here. Hi, Mark. Hi, Jim. Hey.
Welcome to the show. I'm so glad you were coming. Now, you are on the West Coast. And is this an early thing for you or late?
I'm like, Jim, this is late.
Okay, good. You both are early birds. Okay, we're writing that down for our Leo Fest here that we're doing. Peggy, you came how long ago to the 1-2 family?
I'm going on my, I believe, fourth year. Maybe it's only three, but it feels longer than that. So
yes, it does.
Three or four.
It still feels, in one way, it feels really new, and in one way, it feels like forever. So you guys, you both are Leos, and like I said, Peggy, you're near the end of the spectrum. And just so people that might want to know this, I ran your charts. I'm not going to give everything away, but I would like to just share with people your sun, moon, and risings. And I have them. I'm just pulling them up really quick. And hold on one second. Give me you. The one thing about doing things, like I had this idea at the spur of the moment. And one thing about that is, you know, I have to deal with the fact that that means, you know, doing things off the cuff, and I have to go find it. So here, date created. There we go. Here we are. Okay. So there you both are. Let me bring your charts up. Now, Peggy, you're a Leo at 24 degrees of Leo. Like, that's really close to that last, that's that last decadent, that I talked about, the last 10 degrees of Leo. And that brings a more Aries quality to you, more feisty than Jim. And we're going to see if that holds true when we talk to both of you. And you're an Aquarius rising, and you have a Taurus moon. So now what we're seeing here, you guys, is there's three fixed planets as the mainstay for Peggy that she's dealing with. Now, Jim has a Leo sun at 0 degrees. His moon is, get this, Taurus, and just like Peggy's, only he has a Pisces rising. So we're going to see not only the differences in personality based on the chart, we're going to see the difference in personality based on the date that they were born, the day actually, and, you know, some other placements, but they have a lot of similarities. So I'm going to start right out. I want to ask you something. Jim, what do you think are the main characteristics when people say Leo in the world, the main group in the world? What are the characteristics that you hear in your mind? Like what have you always believed that the keywords for Leo are?
You know, I've been told that I can be stubborn. Also, I've been told that, I'm open to hearing other points of views. And also, I've been told that, you know, when I, so to speak, get on my high horse, I can get a little weird sometimes.
Okay. So what are we saying about Leos? That you all get stubborn? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, what about, you didn't mention the thing that I hear most about Leos is they have an ego. Do you hear that?
Yes, supposedly we're supposed to have big egos, but I'm not sure about that, to be honest.
I love that. Okay, good, because we're going to talk about that, because I think we can dispel that myth, and that would be a good chance to do it. Now, so Jim, a lot of people would say that being a Leo means that you're very generous with your friends. Yes or no for you?
Yes.
Okay, Peggy, generous with your friends, yes or no?
Absolutely.
Okay, now, the other thing is, Peggy, what do you hear in your mind is the main characteristics of Leo? Like, what do people think of?
Well, I like the same with Jim. I've always heard that, you know, I can be pretty stubborn.
Yeah.
You know, which always kind of shocked me, but I get, you know, it's a reality. It is true, you know.
Yeah. What does that look like? Like when you believe something or when you, what does stubborn look like? Like, is that like when you're arguing or like you believe something's black and somebody else says it's white, you just won't yield? Or how does stubborn look? I mean, where would you get stubborn?
It's real changed for me, because when I was younger, it was stubborn meant it was basically when I saw it one way, that's the way it was, period. But as I got older,
mm-hmm.
the stubbornness came from, no, everyone's allowed their own opinion.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Okay. Nice.
And then I would become stubborn with people who would not allow others to express their view of the same subject. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So it was like, no. So, and I also have always heard that Leos have big egos, and I, like Jim, I never felt that about me. And I've also been told that Leos can be very intimidating. And that always shocks me too, because I don't feel like I'm intimidating, but I've been told that I am. So.
Interesting. Yeah. We're going to uncover that. That's going to be fun. Now people in the chat room, hi, Cindy, welcome. And hi, Kat. You guys want to ask questions, feel free, because this is our chance to really explore these guys. Like, some of you have lived with Leos, some of you currently live with Leos. Let's find out, like, what your experience is as well. Now, the other thing about Leos, and Peggy, we're going to explore some of those questions that you brought up. Like, you both are not really clear how this ego thing works. So I'm just going to ask you some questions around it. Jim, have you ever been in a situation where after the fact, you might have left a certain situation and you look back and you realize that there was a person there or people there that actually were very kind to you that you didn't get it until later. I mean, and that's a kind of vague general question, but this is where I think my thing with Leos are. I had a Leo roommate, and I felt like I did everything that they wanted. I mean, I picked them up because they didn't have a car for 2.5 years. I mean, it was just everything I could do to bend over backwards to make sure they were okay. And I don't ever, and I remember one time them getting mad that I didn't pick them up, and it was like I never had done anything good for them in their life. So I guess I'm saying, when you're upset with somebody, can you remember the good they did? Or I'm just trying to see how we can have you guys remember, like, have you ever felt that somebody in hindsight was really nice to you and you didn't notice? Or have you always been very sensitive to people's kindnesses that way?
Well, I've always been sensitive to people's kindness, but the opposite is when I do get angry, I kind of, how would you say, get lost in my emotions, and temporarily I'm just kind of in a fog. But as soon as I logically figure it out, I let it go real fast.
Oh, okay. So would you say yes or no that you have, your temper is slow to build, it builds, it expresses itself, and then it's over. Is it like that?
Just like that.
Okay. Peggy, how's your temper look?
Again, mine's changed. I'm redheaded, so when I was younger, my temper was, you know, I was a short fuse.
Okay.
As I've gotten older, I'm like Jim, it takes a lot to really get me angry. But once I let go of the anger and voice my opinion, then it's done. I'm over it. I don't hold a grudge or whatever. But that's not how I was when I was younger. When I was younger, right. I held on to it.
Yeah, and that makes sense. I mean, we do change. The chart does change. It evolves, and so does our consciousness around it. Peggy, have you ever burnt off a friend? Just like, okay, that's it. You have crossed the line. I'm done.
Yeah, but I've always been the one that went out of the way to make the friendship. You know, I did whatever they wanted to do. It was always what they wanted done versus what I've done until I got older. And now I put myself first. So in that respect, I've gone just the opposite.
Okay. You haven't burnt off anybody in your life. Then you
have
like,
oh,
that's
no. Yeah, I have. I have. Yes, definitely.
And they're still out. I mean, is it once they're out, are they pretty much out?
Yes.
Okay. Jim, have you ever done that? Have you ever said, okay, enough, you're gone, I don't want to speak to you again, and it's over, and then you never looked back? Has that ever happened?
Yes, it has, particularly in my younger years.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Like when I was in my 20s, you could say 20s.
So people could offend you then, and part of you was like, okay, that's it, that's the door, I am done. And yeah. Once you all shut that door, would you agree that that door does not open?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. That's good because you guys are fixed fire signs. And so the big thing is Leo's, here's my stereotype, and I'm just offering you all stereotypes. You're welcome to bust them up. The stereotype was and is in my head that, Leos are very forgiving and they do have a line that you can cross. Like, so it's a lot of like, you got to look for the keys of when they're starting to get like, okay, you're pushing this a little too far. And I had a Leo friend who would whisper that statement, you know, you're going a little too far. You got to stop. And I would think that's not very serious. And the next time I did it, it was like, oh my God, the tidal wave. So I do think you guys are understated until you've crossed the line. And then it's like you roar. I think there is a roar. Loyalty to friends, like the lion. Now, do you relate to the energies of a lion, Peggy? Are you a lioness with people that you love in your family? Like, are you a super duper protective lady around the people that you care about?
Yes, almost, in a negative way. You know what I'm saying? Almost blindly.
Oh, excellent. Okay. Okay, so Jamie wants to know where Leo is in the two charts. It's ironically or coincidentally, they're very close. Jim's is in the fifth house and Peggy's is in the sixth house, Jamie. So, that's a good question. So Jim has the 0 degrees of Leo, but his is in the Leo house. So it makes up for the Leo energy. Peggy's is in the sixth house. So Peggy's is going to look a little more Virgo-in and a little more, I would just think Peggy could sound more righteous than Jim in terms of like when she's right, that what she talked about earlier. Plus, her son is very close to Pluto and Jim's is very close to Uranus. So they both have one, you know, they both very different energies. One's a little more Scorpio-like and one's a little more Aquarian-like. But they do cross over. So thanks for asking that. I have a little Leo in my first and mostly second house. This is Jamie and a North Node. Yes, you are learning. That's great. You bet. And you just keep asking away. And hi, Louie's in the house too. We got some fire people coming up. Okay, so Jim, are you fiercely protective of people that you care about that are in the what's it called? A pack of lions? What is the group of lions called? They have a den, and then somebody will post it. I know. I'm not going to trust my brain. So, Jim, when somebody is in your little tribe of people, are you the lion protector?
That I am.
Okay, so nobody messes with people you love, right?
I try to protect them.
Okay, okay, perfect. I love that. And you, so, you might even, would you all notice that, are you the type of people that would do, protection more for other people, but maybe not as much for yourself? Like you'd stand up for the people you care about, but not for yourselves. Is that the same thing? Or would you stand up for yourselves too?
When I was younger,
go ahead.
I would stand up for everybody else and not so much myself. But as I've gotten older, again, that's switched. My priority has become standing up for myself first and then others.
Okay. So you will take care of yourself then if somebody gets snarky with you.
Yes, I've learned.
Yes. That's good. Okay. And then remember, they both have Taurus moons, you guys. So there's here, we're seeing a lot of that, but an immovability, and especially once they set a position or a decision up. So that's really good to know. Now, Jim, are you good at taking care of yourself also?
Yes. I try to take care of myself first, and then I go from there. And when I feel like I'm taken care of, I could easily take care of not the world, but a number of people.
Yes.
Excellent. Okay. That's perfect. Oh, thank you, Cindy. It's Pride of Lions. I think that absolutely like a murder of crows, except I just read that a murder of crows is really just the poetic name, but it's really called a flock. So isn't that cute? So Pride of Lions. That's right. That's so good. Now, speaking of pride, on a scale of 1 to 10, Peggy, how much pride do you have about what you do? 1 to 10, 10 being amazing amount of pride in what I do.
I would say 9.
Excellent. Jim, scale of 1 to 10, how proud are you?
10.
I love it. Now, because the reason I ask that is Leos are known for one of the highest qualities of Leo is their ability to master something, like where they get into it and they don't give up until they get it and they make it look effortless. And all of a sudden it's like, wow, they did it. So, what would be your, Peggy, can you elaborate a little bit on your, what you see in your mind? What are you proud of? And I'm not talking, you know, we're not talking about the ugly pride. We're talking about that you care about what you do. You give it a certain amount of attention. You whittle away at the things that are not good about it, and you always learn and you always improve it. That's what I'm thinking. And do you agree with that?
Yes. And I think that's probably why I said 9 versus 10 is because I feel like I'm always learning something new, and I'm always trying to fine tune what I'm already doing. And, for me, it's living, you know, my passion, and that's being able to help others. I mean, it brings me such great joy to be able to give readings and do the healings and do the things that I'm doing and help people get answers.
How do you improve, Peggy? What do you do? Are you always on the, do you take classes? I mean, what do you do? Because you're the Virgo of the group in terms of your son's in the sixth house. And so that's another reason why you got a notch down in 9 instead of 10. But because it's like that humility is in there. What do you do to make sure that you stay strong and in your craft?
Well, I question the angels every day. Mm-hmm. You know, I just don't take it so much on blind faith. And I do, but I don't. And how I express that is if I'm being, like I was guided to come to California, you know, to up and leave Arizona to come to California. And it took some time. And finally for it to come together, I just had to have what I call a come to Jesus meeting with the angels of saying, you know, I'm not getting this. You know, I need good, clear, you know, direction. I need to know what's going on here. And so I'm always pushing for answers. But I've learned how to listen to the guidance. You know, it's so easy to ask the questions. It takes practice to learn to listen for the answers.
Yeah.
And so I've taken, you know, and that's how I do it. I just, you know, whatever they guide me to do, that's what I've been doing. So
I love it.
I've learned how to listen.
Now you have a little Southern twang to you. Do you have Texas? Is that
yes.
What it was? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And how long were you in Texas? I'm just going to get a little of your evolution.
From birth until almost 13. We moved to Missouri the summer I turned 13.
Excellent. Okay. Now I have another question for you guys that's archetypal, but before I do that, Jim, tell us about what you do to keep your, the pride around your work and to keep that so strong. What is it that you do? Cause I know that both of you have such, it just is nonstop.
Basically what I do is I usually start my day off, in the morning, early in the morning, and I just open myself up to, you could say, the whole world. And what I mean by the whole world is you could say the angelic realms, also the master realms, also the God consciousness. I kind of bring that in with me. And once I'm there, it's like, I feel like I'm unstoppable.
Oh, that's excellent. Okay, now, Jim, where were you born and spent most of your life as a young person?
The Northeast United States. I was born in Virginia, and I was raised kind of like Pennsylvania, Vermont, wow. Lived in the South for a while in Alabama, and I moved to Colorado 30 years ago.
Wow. You've been in Colorado 30. That's almost me too. That's really mm-hmm. great. Okay. So, okay. Now, first of all, let me back into the chat room really quick. Kai, thank you for the pride answer too. And welcome. And hi, Elizabeth, Lindsay, and Louie's in the house, and Helen and Kim. Hi, you guys. Welcome. And thank you so much for coming. Post any Leo questions that you have. Now, you guys, in the myth of Leo, it's Parsifal and the Holy Grail. And when you study the mythology of the signs, you can get a little heady and it can get really deep. But in general, what the conclusion was by many of the psychologists who write about astrological things was that Leo's experienced there's two things you experience as a child, but first thing is that you are born with this kind of wisdom spiritually, and this is the evolution. You have it as a young person. You remember the magic of life and you remember spirituality, and that at some point, some event, something strips it from you. And then, so you spend much of the middle ages of your life, searching for that, and then finally the touching in and grabbing it. Now, Peggy, how does that mythology unfold in your mind? Like, does that sound fairly accurate? And if so, explain it. If not, explain the other half. Like, what doesn't sound right or what does?
It feels pretty spot on, because when I was younger, I was, everything was based on the religion that I was raised in, but it didn't make sense to me. The religion just didn't make sense to me. So I went as a young teenager to all these different churches trying to find the right church, because none of them made sense of, the God that I felt inside of me. Cause it didn't make sense that this all loving God was up there making these little tick marks. Cause if that was the case, I was never going to get into heaven.
how old is for you now around this?
Well, I started questioning even the church we were in when I was 7.
Okay.
Yeah. That's perfect. That didn't make me very popular with my folks and with the church, because they would say, well, this is the right church. And my question would be, well, like, why? And they said, because we read the Bible and we do this. And I'd say, well, this other church says the same thing. So,
What makes you all right?
I had this fear of not getting into heaven,
Yeah. I think that's the main foundation of most religions or Christianity, or even most religions have this sort of afterlife reward that we worry about not getting. So you questioned it. And then when did you about fall into what you're doing now, as let's say that this is the path that you love?
Well, I started the Reiki when I was real little, up until I went into middle school. I talked to those on the other side and my angels, and I thought everybody did. And when I found out that wasn't the case, you kind of shut that down because you want to fit in. And then in my 20s, I took Reiki 1 and 2. And back then, to get a master's, it was $10,000. So I just kind of said, well, heck with that. But I kept everything else. I just kept working with it, but I just didn't tell everybody. Mm. And then by my 30s, I was like, to heck with this. Why am I keeping this, quiet? And then so I kind of just worked on my own for a while and did readings and stuff for friends. And then in my 40s is when I went back and took a refresher course on Reiki 1 and 2. And then I got my Yusui Masters and then my Karuna Masters, all within a year of each other. Yeah.
Okay, so what about the money? Was it still 10 grand?
Oh, no.
Okay.
You found
a way that not to bypass that big thing. I remember when it was 10,000, and I remember Diane Stein, cause I ran, I had a New Age store during some of the early New Age years, and Diane Stein was the big rebel who was going to publish all of the Reiki secrets, and she did. So I know that she sort of shook up the Reiki world, saying, y'all don't need to be charging that much. And so it's nice that you found your way to bring in some of those skills and, without having to suffer for them.
Right.
Go ahead.
I think that the energy work, whether it be Reiki or any of it, for me, helped lay the foundation for me to step out publicly with doing the angel readings and to go on with the mediumship. But I had to have that foundation first. It was kind of like having that security blanket. You know,
now, did you notice that you felt like, were you insecure in the early stages? Were you looking at the world around you for how you were doing? Or did you have this inner thing that was like, I know this is right for me. I'm just moving forward.
I had the insecurity, but I think that the biggest thing for me was the stepping out and owning who I am. You know, and now I truly own that. I mean, and to me, that's been one of the thing that I'm most proud of is the fact that I can own who I am now. And if people don't like it, that's their problem, not mine.
Yeah, right on. That's where the Leos land. And I love that. And we're going to explore one other aspect of that in a minute. Welcome. If you're just coming in to the show, I am Mark Husson. This is 1-2 News, and I'm talking to Jim Komar and Peggy Reeser, two Leos on either side of the spectrum. One's very early in July and one in Leo, and one is very late into Leo. And so we're exploring their experiences as Leo. And if you have a chance or a question that you'd like to ask them as Leos, post it in the chat room if you're in there with us. Okay. So, and welcome, Laura. Hi, Denise. Helen, good to see you. Okay. So Jim, in terms of the spiritual quest and the hero's journey that we talk about with Leo, again, the cycle would be early spirituality, lose it, then seek it and find it again at a different level. Did your evolution work sort of in that pattern?
Yes, it did. When I was really young, I used to talk to spirits. I mean, they would come up to me like I was 2 or 3 years old and kind of hang out. And I thought everyone was like this. So no big deal. And they used to tell me things, and I'd tell adults what they were telling me, and they'd say, "Hey kids, shut the F up. You know, I don't want to hear it." So I'm just this 5-year old kid going, "Uh-oh." So I, after about a year or two of doing that, I finally shut myself up. And, then when I was a teenager, it was coming on strong. It was like really coming on strong. I couldn't ignore it. And, by the time I was about 2021, there's no way I could ever ignore it.
Wow. And so you opened it up at 21 and did you take classes or did you just teach yourself?
I just taught myself, and I've been meditating and doing yoga ever since I was younger, a lot younger. And so doing the yoga kind of led into the meditation. And then once I was in the meditation, I would literally invite in the masters and say, "Teach me." And they'd start giving me all this information.
Wow. You know what's really funny for me is neither of you look like if I saw you on a lineup, or whether it was a post office picture or just in the street or at a restaurant, I would probably fall over if you all looked at me and Peggy said, "Yeah, I talk to angels," and Jim goes, "Yeah, I see dead people." Be like, "Wow, you both just so follow a whole different beat." And that's really kind of fun. I like seeing that. And I do respect how you both heard that voice. Now, it doesn't work that way for everybody. I just want you to know that the mythology behind Leo is very strong in terms of the quest and the hero's journey. Now, there's another component to the hero's journey. It has to do with the father. And I would really like to talk to you guys about this. I often say it on when I discuss Leos, and most Leos would, you know, they have different experiences with this, but in general, what we to see in the myth that Parsifal's father was very weak, and he ends up dying, leaving at an early age, and he ends up later, the end of the story, finding the Grail and finding that his grandfather was also part of this. So we got to incorporate all that within. So I translate that throughout the years as Leos didn't have a strong father figure. And what that means is that you all started off without the strong voice in your head saying, "I will be for you. I'm here for you." So what you do is you started looking to the outside world for that. Like, you started reading people really quick. Do they like me? Do they not like me? You all usually can tell people really quickly. And then, so the father being absent or weak or not a strong figure, let's just start with that. Peggy, yes or no?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes.
And the thing about it is, when I first heard the myth, I thought that doesn't make sense because, you know, my father was very present as far as being in the home or whatever, but emotionally, he was never there for me, ever. So
excellent. And you say that with conviction, so it might believe it.
Yeah, and I had to, and it took me getting probably into my 30s and 40s to actually look back on it and say, you know, that statement's so true, because I really had to look to other people to try to find, you know, that security, so to speak, you know. Your father's
yes.
for you and guide you and you know, support you.
Make you feel safe. Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
And I never had that.
That's very powerful. So thank you for sharing that. And let's just check out the father thing with Jim too. Jim, what was the experience with dad?
You know, it was positive, but my father was a quiet man, so I would have to pump him for information in order to find out more. He'd say something and I'd ask him more questions, and I felt very secure around him. He was always like there, you could say, for the family security, monetarily speaking. Emotionally, that's another story. Emotionally, he was detached. That's why I probably probed and found out more information as time went on.
Okay, so then would you say that – did you feel special in his eyes or kind of not special?
Average.
Like, did you feel it perfect? Like he might have, I know that you, like, it's not like, did he love you or not? And you could have had the most playful father. I guess as the experience of the young boy, did you feel like you were getting, you know, that he would just light up when he'd see you? Cause you know, the Leo children love that. They love when you smile and light up when they run into a room.
Sometimes. It depends on, I think, how he was feeling.
Okay, let's change that then and say, what was it like with your mom?
The opposite. She was caring, she was loving, but there she was also closed too, like my
father. Oh, yeah. But did she make you at least feel more secure about your, you know, existence in the home?
Yeah. I think both of them combined, you could say, brought that security to me.
Okay. Now, did you feel in general, and then we'll get off the father thing now, because the father is a metaphor for whatever energy it was that we look for. It could be both parents, actually. But you do look to Leos for the not being able to get the message. And the message was, you're dear, you're special, you're unique. Did you hear that message energetically as a child that gave you the kind of confidence that you have now, or did you have to build that?
I had to build it.
Okay. Peggy, did you get it or did you have to build it?
I had to build it.
Okay. So what we're seeing in common with Leos is one of the reasons you guys get accused. This is what might be educational for you. I don't know. One of the reasons you get accused of being egocentric is because when you didn't get that piece from the family, for, you know, father or mother, when you didn't get that, I'm unique and special, and you had to build it, you had to turn your attention to the world for their decision. And so you kept constantly looking to the world. Now, from the outside, that would look like you all are constantly looking for attention. Do you get that? So for the people around you, it would look like they always need to be told they're great. But what you guys are doing without knowing it was you're building that inner voice that said, okay, I am good. I got validation for it. But it might take many years to get that. But therein lies why you guys get accused of being egocentric, for the very opposite reason that you don't have an ego. You didn't have a sense of who you were. So you turned to the world for it. But when you look at you guys from the world's perspective, it looks like you're asking the world to approve of you constantly. Okay. Does that make a little sense? Peggy, a little sense?
Yes.
Okay. Jim, to you too? Do you get that early on, that sense? Okay.
Yes.
So when people accuse you of being arrogant, what they don't know is that you're actually the opposite. You're not feeling who you are. Because when you guys get into any kind of bravado or any kind of looking out for the approval, that energy of not knowing who you are. So, and I think that's exactly just very helpful, because it helps really build in that you're not needy people, you're not insecure, but you needed to build this one voice. We call it the voice of the father. It certainly could have been mother, family, both. It could have been an uncle, it could have been an aunt, but it's a voice that you needed that you didn't get. Jamie's posting, my dad just explained to me after 54 years that he has two personalities, and for him to feel fulfilled as a human, he has to live out both sides. That is why he was only a father half the time. That's brilliant. When you guys get validation like that, that is like savor it, because you're getting to hear it firsthand from the people who meant the most to you and that influenced you. Leo's also some of the rhetoric that you hear, some of the things you hear, very, very, very dramatic. Peggy, can we call you officially a drama queen or not?
When I was younger, absolutely. And I didn't even
say that. I knew you were going to say that.
You know, but when I was younger, yeah, and I didn't even realize I was doing it. As I've gotten older, I'm, you know, for someone to say I'm a drama queen now, it's just like, it's too foreign. It's not who I am.
Okay, so you don't get upset or hysterical over some small things, usually?
No.
Okay.
I think the only time I get, oh yeah, I still have that capacity. I think anybody does, you know. When it comes to my security, then yes, I can get, you know, very.
But generally, you don't feel like you over-dramatize. I mean, if we interviewed secretly your friends, would they agree with you?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm usually the calm one. I'm usually the one that, you know, they go to for being rational and, you know, whatever. I'm really laid back
let's redefine drama queen too. You know, when, if you have a friend who's in need, you might, in order to get people spurred up, really amp the need. Like, you know, like make it bigger than it is. So you can get people moving. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I had to think about that. Yes, I can charge in.
You can bring in. And then the last thing I want to ask you before we go to Jim is, what about acting? Because that's always, they say that Leos have that flair for acting. Did you ever want to be an actress?
No, but I mean, I did drama, you know, drama in junior high and high school, and I loved it. But I never had that desire to go further with that.
Okay, so you did a little?
Yeah.
Okay, that's awesome. Okay, Jim.
Yes.
How about you and being a drama king? Would anybody ever say that about you? Because you certainly don't sound it either.
Are you never overreact?
No.
No, I try not to overreact. Sometimes I do, of course. But I was never really dramatic in my life. I usually try to, if I was getting in that vein, so to speak, I would go the opposite direction because it almost wasn't good to me. It wasn't good for me to go in that direction.
Gotcha. Now let's also explain drama king in this version. Inside yourselves, just sometimes you find yourself overreacting, but you're not letting people know it. Like, is it possible that inside that you could maybe have a hysterical moment like, what the hell is this doing? But you don't show it. Is that possibly going on?
Yes.
Okay. So remember, it can be internalized. And sometimes if you guys know that, like, you might be able to bring that father voice in that says, you know, you're being overdramatic to yourself. You know, we may never see it, but you guys might be a little overdramatic, like the worst case scenario kind of thinking. Wow. I mean, you guys are being so forthright and honest. I do really appreciate that. And before we lose anything in terms of time and have to rush out, let's talk a little bit about what you do and get in right addresses and things like that so people can find you. Peggy, what the hell do you do?
Oh my gosh. I do the
angel
reading.
You read, right? How does it look like? What's it look like to get a reading with Peggy?
It's just, I'm just real down to earth. And I think that's, I've been told by so many people, Peggy, you're just not the typical angel person.
you're certainly not the typical angel person, which is one of the reasons why I think you're here, but go ahead.
But I'm just down to earth. I tell, you know, whatever comes through, I tell my clients I'm not going to blow smoke. You know, anything that comes through, I'm going to give you exactly what it comes, you know, what comes through. And I'm not going to change the answer just because you may not like what you hear. It is what it is. So I feel like I'm a clear channel for that. I do Reiki, and I also offer up John of God bed sessions. So that's what I do.
John of God bet, right? And that's in person.
Mm-hmm. And then, okay, of course, so I do the ones to radio.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. You do ones to radio. So I'm just trying to, like, make sure we get all the services. So if they want to do a John of God bed, do they bring pajamas?
No, that's funny. That would be kind of cool, wouldn't it? We could have like a slumber party. No,
right.
Basically it's, you're laid onto a Reiki table, or, you know, a massage table, and I have a, biomat that lays underneath that. So you're laying on top of a biomat. And then you have these seven crystals that line up with your chakras, and I flip the switch and the lights come on, and I tell people the worst thing that's going to happen to you when you get off the bed is you're going to feel totally relaxed. So that's the worst thing that's going to happen.
That's great. And the best thing could be like a shift in consciousness or body pain or something.
Yes.
Okay. And so what I want to add to what you do, and I just made a joke with somebody said, Peggy's not a drama queen. I'm like, she's never yelled at you. So.
Yeah, but did you see my answer?
No, I didn't.
I said, I've never yelled at you. I just talked.
I love it. Well, here's the thing. What I want people to know about Peggy, what you shock me about is when I've heard you, especially on the radio, you come up with stuff that doesn't sound like Peggy. Like it's like this, it does sound like it came from somebody else. Not that you don't have that wisdom, but it's like, wow, it's shocking. Like all of a sudden this came out. Like I've never heard her say that because it's like you have that sun in the sixth, which is like the Virgo service, and you have that Aquarius rising mind. And it's like, you know, people need to know that when you guys get into your roles, it's complete. Like there is something real here that is, I want people to know. It's like, I wouldn't pick you all out of a lineup if I was having dinner with you or met you at a party. But when you see these guys at work, it's true Leo mastery. It's kind of amazing. So Peggy, when is your show?
7 p.m. Pacific on Tuesday evenings.
At 12radio.com. Now, somebody wants to get a hold of you, they know they can find you at 12listen.com and get a reading from you directly, which I highly recommend. And check out Peggy's time-based sessions. And Peggy, also, what is the, do you have a website? Do you have some other way they can get a hold of you if you want them to?
Sure. It's Oh My Angels. It's O-H, then myangels.com. And you can send me an email through that.
Okay. You kind of coined that phrase, didn't you? O-M-A.
Yes. Right.
Yeah. Isn't that cute? I love that. See, that's that sort of Aquarius Virgo mind. Love that. Thank you, Peggy. And don't leave. Jim, let's talk about your work. What is it like to have a reading with Jim? I was actually, I had the privilege of hearing your work, not only on the radio, but during your training, and it's like, where do you go and who comes in? What's it like? Tell them what it's like to get, like, what can they expect as a client of yours?
Honesty. Whether they like it, if they ask me a question, I will be honest with them. And sometimes the answer is not all, peaches and cream here. And so because of that, I feel like when I'm in my mode of, you could say my psychic mode, I feel like I can give clarity. I can give, a sense of, nobility to the other person. In other words, bring their stuff out that you could say more of their positive stuff as opposed to their negative stuff. Also,
Are you hearing somebody, Jim?
Right now?
I'm sorry. No. When you're doing your readings, are you like, when you say, I try to be da, 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 it's because you're hearing somebody talk to you, or is it just like comes up from your belly and it's Jim, or what's your experience?
It's both. It's both. Sometimes the angels will just come right in and just start blabbing away. Sometimes, Jeshua will come in and just start talking away. Sometimes Buddha, will start talking away. You could say other masters too. Sometimes when that happens, if I'm in a psychic reading, I'll just bring that into the reading itself. You could say to give them more clarity from a third party point of view.
Excellent. And, so they can ask you anything, future, past, present, past lives. You both of you go anywhere with that stuff, right?
Anywhere. If people want like past lives, if they want to get specific, I can tell them times, dates, where they lived. I mean, all sorts of information.
The feedback is remarkable, honestly. Now, Jim, you also do a healing practice. Is that the correct word that I would say?
Yeah.
I mean, you have a hands-on practice that you do in Colorado. If people want to find you and they're in Colorado, they'd love to get a session from you, which I highly recommend for both. I mean, I've never even heard of a Jhana Godbed, so this is news for me. I love that. But what would they do for you, Jim? How would they find you?
I would recommend they go to jimcomar.com, and that's my website. I just recently got a new one, and it kind of tells you what I do. I do a lot of remote work, so I have literally clients around the globe right now that I do remote work with. But in person, I'm in a place, a town called Lone Tree, Colorado, which is a southern end of the Denver metropolitan area. That's where I work. It's called the Whole Health Center.
Gotcha.
And so they
would go to your website and they can make an appointment there?
They would have to contact, there's a direct number for the Whole Health Center. They would have to contact them because they set up all the appointments.
Nice. I love that. I do. You also have a radio show. When and where?
It's called, Pathways to Healing and Consciousness. Consciousness and Healing. Thank you.
That's right.
It's on Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific time, or 6 p.m. Mountain Time, or 8 p.m. Eastern Time, or anywhere else in the world, wherever your time zone is.
There's replays on demand. Go ahead. What do you talk about?
I talk about different subjects. Like this past, I was talking about creating perfect health, sometimes meditation, sometimes guys, the subjects just vary from.
Yeah, they do. They're very unique too. And you go into depth with them. They can hear them on demand, but you will pick subjects that are like, wow. I mean, like you'll get into it and you actually, people call in with those issues that you're talking about. And so it's a very unique show. It's Thursdays at what time, Jim?
5 p.m. Pacific time.
Okay. So 5 p.m. Pacific, you guys, 8 p.m. Eastern, and you have on demand. Peggy has on demand. So if you guys don't catch a replay, go right to One Two Radio, look for on demand. Their shows are amazing. And we do have two apps where you can also download their replays and listen on your phone. The One Two Radio app from the iTunes store and the One Two Radio app from the Android Google Play. So, working, you guys have ever been on each other's shows? Have you guys met before this? You know, you're the only Leos here, right? I mean, in the whole staff.
No, never. The only time I've even heard Jim's voice has been when we've had our staff meetings.
Isn't that funny? And that's great. And Jim, so you all never met and you've never been on each other's show or anything like that. I love that.
No, and I listen to your show. I do listen to your show, Peggy, by the way.
Well, thank you. Well, I do listen to yours too. I thought about that since I said I only heard your voice there, but you know what I meant. I hear it on
TV. I know what you meant. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I've never met
you guys. Yeah, absolutely. And you guys are usually very kind with each other. All those hosts like do that. They listen what other ones are doing. Now, tomorrow's our big sale. Do you have, Peggy, any TBSs that you're offering? Now, those are time-based sessions, you guys, where you just pay a flat rate and you get to talk to Peggy without that operator coming on and saying, add more money. So do you have any TBSs going, Peggy?
I will have a 15-minute and a 30-minute, and I'll post those, get those posted by tomorrow morning.
Excellent. Jim, what about you? Are you going to work tomorrow?
I'll be working tomorrow, and yes, I will have 15- and 30-minute time-based session specials.
I love that. And you guys are like, what are you thinking about the time bases? Are you feeling a little more creativity with them? Are you feeling like you want to use them more? They work for you, each of them?
Mine goes in waves. Sometimes I do really well on them and sometimes nothing. You know, but I think it just depends on the energy that's going on around in the world.
That's right. Absolutely. Yeah. Now, Jim, you teach at all? Peggy, do you teach? I want to talk to you about 1-2 Academy. Have you taught over at 1-2 Academy? Any plans to do that?
Well, I've been kind of batting around the idea, and you and I've kind of talked about it just laughingly, because my form of meditation is not like Jim's. My mind doesn't stay still that long. So for me to answer questions or, you know, for myself, I bake. And so I thought about doing some baking classes, you know, with
nice.
And call it not your usual type of meditation.
That's excellent. Yes, yes, yes. Or meditation, meditation through baking. I mean, meditation comes in all forms. Hey, Jim, we have about 30 seconds left. Are you any plans for teaching?
I've been thinking about it and I've been trying to go on the practical side of, teaching, like just more practical things for everyday people so they could live their lives the way they want to.
Oh, good.
Yeah, or guided meditations, Jim. And you guys, if you get ideas for these people you'd like to see them teach, please email me or them or get a hold of them the way they said, because I think they need to hear that. And because they have a lot, they obviously have a lot to offer. Peggy, Jim, you guys are so much. This was so great. It was really educational for me. You were willing to get up early, even though it was not early in your world. Get and share who you were as Leo. So thank you for that. And I encourage everyone listening, please give these guys a listen on 1-2 Radio and also find them at 1-2 Listen tomorrow or anytime and get a taste of this talent that they have. It's really, you will be shocked. Jim, Peggy, thank you so much for coming. Let's
thank
do it
you,
again.
Mark.
Thank you, Mark.
Yes, and happy birthdays, both of you. One late, one coming up. Talk to you soon. Bye, you guys. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Christy Brower, 1-2 Listen advisor, host of Kindred Spirits, and co-host of the Psychic Sisters. Right now, we are experiencing growing pains as a collective. Change happens in fits and starts. Sometimes it is beautiful and profound, and sometimes it is messy and ugly. We have to remember that we must reveal the darkness in order to bring it into the light. There is hope in this time of great change. It is in the hearts of all of us who know without a doubt that we are bigger than this. We all matter, and in the long run, love always wins.
Host of Pathways to Consciousness and Healing and a 1-2 Listen advisor. I know the world is a crazy place these days, but don't let these people take your power away. It's time to go inside and empower yourself, where you create and express your inner world of peace and love. It's time to create a strong sense of yourself, where these events and situations no longer control who you are. You are in charge of yourself and always will be in charge. Call upon God, the angels, your spirit guides to heal your fears. Let your light shine. Let your light shine brilliantly. Peace and love to all. That's all there is. And peace and love is who you are.
This is Katie Weaver, and I am a psychic advisor at 1-2listen.com. And I am coming to you today with a message of hope. Desmond Tutu once said, "Hope is being able to see that there is light despite all of the darkness." And I feel like that is our greatest challenge right now, to find the light, to focus on the light, and to intensify the light through our own actions, our own words, and our own intentions. We are living in a very interesting time. I think we can all agree on that. But honestly, it is an honor to be alive right now. We continue to witness the awakening of so many souls on our planet. We continue to have a job to do to help support those souls and each other. I know sometimes when there's violence and chaos and uncertainty in our world, it's easy to fall into a place of apathy, to feel like our voice doesn't matter. But my friends, now is the time to rise up. Now is the time to shine your light the brightest. Be kinder than necessary. Give more than you normally would. Be more accepting and more accommodating. Because the one thing I know for sure is that at the end of the day, love always wins. So I'm asking you to join me now in lighting our fires, in spreading more love than hate, and in joining together to continue to make this world a place that we want to be.